Welcome to From the Heart with Dawn Lister, she, her, and Daniel Groom, he, they. Welcome back to season four. We really hope you've had a wonderful year. It's been nearly a year, I think. Is it a year, Daniel, since the last one?
Maybe longer than that.
Maybe even longer. Maybe. My goodness. It's been a long time. It's been a while since we have recorded, and I've missed it. So it's really exciting to be here talking again and having a think about subjects that we want to explore for season four. So, Daniel, how have you been?
I've been very well, Dawn. I've inherited, well, I say inherited, I've rescued two new dogs who I am getting used to, and they're getting used to us. We got them from a rescue centre. They're 7 and 8 years old, so they're quite well established in their routines, a bit like me and my husband. So, but it's just wonderful to have dogs in the house. Just really, really lovely. Really enjoy having them around. And yeah, they're very well trained, which we're very fortunate about as well. So
not too many peeing accidents.
No. Other than the first day when they first came, and they were, one of them was very anxious. Yeah, they've been good as gold. Been out in the garden, you know, and took them down the beach this weekend because it was the last time you could go on the beach before Southend Beach closes to dogs for the summer and opens for humans.
Opens for human sewage, which is currently being poured into our estuary regularly, but that's a whole other a whole other podcast.
And people, you know, dumping rubbish when they've had enough at the end of the day. So, you know.
But it's a lovely beach. Do come visit Southend Beach.
It is. It's a beautiful beach. And yeah, we were just saying how lovely it is to have that on our doorstep, you know, especially because there's little swimming pools that the dogs could go in, or humans can go in. One of our dogs just loves, because she likes to go up to sort of shoulder height, but no higher. She doesn't actually want to swim, but she likes to fully submerge herself, but walk in and walk out. So that was perfect for her.
And what are the dogs' names?
We've got Ruby and Annie. Ruby's a golden doodle, and Annie is a rare breed, which is called a Coton de Tulier.
Oh my God, never heard of that before. French?
It is French, but actually comes from Madagascar. That's a Madagascan water dog.
Gosh.
And although she doesn't like the water, ironically.
So that's the bigger dog?
No, the little one.
The little one.
Yeah, the big one's the golden doodle.
Right. Okay.
Who has an extreme amount of energy. Extreme amount of energy. She never stops. I get woken up with a toy, go to sleep, having to play with the toy.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, she's quite full on. But now she's getting in a rhythm. She's working out when she can sleep. And actually they sleep, you know.
A lot.
Yeah, about 16 hours a day.
It's amazing, isn't it? My old doggy Normie's on his last legs now. I've been saying that for a year and a half, though, so maybe he's going to go till he's 20, but he's quite incontinent, so I regularly come home to wee and poo, which is not fun. But anyway, that's a big change, and today's theme is about change and our fears around change and the importance of communication within change. And endings and beginnings. So I wonder how you all feel about change. Does it bring up terror in you? Or do you cling to the need for things to stay the same, or for change always to be on your terms? And I think that's a really understandable thing, if that is something that you as a listener can relate to, because change isn't always something that you might invite into your life. It might disrupt you in some way, especially if it's coming to you without you being part of that choice, or something that maybe you don't want to happen. You know, often happens in relationships, doesn't it? You know, partners grow apart,
don't they? Absolutely.
Work relationships, that will happen. Friendships, you know, as we grow up and develop different interests, you know, some friendships fall away, and you know, that can, we can make a choice around how that happens. We can say we're on a different page, but I still have you in my heart, but we don't have the same interests anymore. So,
absolutely.
And that's okay. But I think that's quite challenging for people. Would you agree?
Hugely. Yeah, hugely. I mean, you know, the reason that we've got this subject today is that, you know, I've decided that I'm leaving my directorship and management position at Anna Harta and will no longer be a co-presenter on From the Heart. And Dawn and I have been working through a lot of these things individually and collectively, you know, as a business couple, but also as a friendship couple as well. And, you know, we're not saying we've got it perfect anyway, stretch the imagination, you know, it brings up a lot of resistance, a lot of kind of undealt or things that, you know, maybe you haven't dealt with in the past that then sort of rise. And for me, you know, change and fear around change is probably a huge trigger for my anxiety. So it's been really useful to have seen how to work this through from a kind of a business perspective, a friendship perspective, but then also, you know, what practices I'm needed to do. And I'm sure you've probably changed your practices as well, Dawn, to suit where you are. You know, it is having that knowledge and information. And if not, if you don't have it, then being able to maybe go to someone else and say to them, you know, I'm going through this period of change. It's making me feel unsettled, or, you know, I'm finding it bringing out things in me that I didn't realize were there even. And how, you know, how can we resolve this, or how can we make this an easier transition? Because the one thing we know in life, things are going to change.
Yeah. Always. How very dull if they didn't.
Absolutely.
If nothing ever changed, you'd be having a different podcast. Now. Why does nothing change? Why is it always the same? Well, so I think it's really exciting that things are changing for you, Daniel. And if Daniel and I are very comfortable now, I think, with where things are. And do you want to tell the listeners what it is you're going to be doing?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, so towards the end of the lockdowns, I started to realize that running a business for me wasn't essentially something that I was feeling fulfilled by. And I spent quite a lot of time during that sort of weird period where everyone was trying to put things back together, you know, putting myself back together as well, and working out, well, what is it that I feel like is missing? And I know for me, I needed to get deeper into the therapeutic work and deeper into finding a way that I could support people, but that felt structured and felt like there was a framework around it that was able to allow people and myself to thrive within. I struggle with the framework of yoga because there isn't one necessarily. You know, there isn't a set of rules and regulations about how to be a yoga teacher or how to be a yoga therapist. There is more around yoga therapy because there is some very clear guidance from the CNHC about, you know, what can be and can't be done as a yoga therapist. But I was finding I was slipping further and further away from kind of guidelines that I felt I needed. So I've kind of looked at what I enjoy, which is therapeutic work, and actually I've decided to move into a much more structured way of working with people, which is to become a counsellor. So I'm going to be combining my yoga therapy and my counselling work together as an integrative practice, basically. So I've got 2 years of study ahead of me. I've done a year and about half now. And I'm just about to do my what's called the level four, which will mean I'll be able to operate as a counsellor.
And how are you feeling about it?
Excited, really excited. I mean, for me, the big catalyst for this was I was looking for a therapist myself.
Oh, yeah, I remember.
And I couldn't find one that fit the criteria of what I needed face-to-face within our area. So with that in the back of my mind, I did manage to find a counsellor, but that counsellor ended up being online because I needed someone that was queer to be able to support me, because some of the things that I needed support with were about identity, were about self-expression, that I needed to be with another queer person to be able to talk to. and be heard in that environment.
Mm.
And I just realised we have a significant lack of queer therapists that are currently residing in the South End and most of the South East as well.
Yeah.
You know, so that was kind of like, well, there's a gap here. I know that I would, it would suit me fundamentally to be able to step into a role that supported queer people, and not just queer people, but the focus being on, you know, being available for queer people, which kind of really spearheaded me, you know, going into finding out more about the counselling.
And I'm just so excited for that personally, because we've spoken at length about that, about the lack of representation for queer people in our community. And, you know, so many questions to ask about it. Is it not accessible to people who are queer? Is it harder for them to access that? Is there some shame around it? Who knows? I don't know. And all, these are all questions you'll be exploring, I'm sure, as you go through your
training. You know, they're things that I've already raised with the people that I'm being trained by, you know, and questioning, well, you know, some of the ways that you're presenting this doesn't feel very queer friendly to me, you know, and, you know, it's a really useful process to go through, because I don't know whether there's not queer counsellors or queer therapists in abundance in our area, because I know there's not a lack of queer people, but maybe there's a lack of queer people in jobs that can afford to do the training. And that's maybe what the, you know, what the problem to me feels like.
Which is also true. It's typically a middle-class profession. You know, you can't, when I did my training as a therapist years ago, I took up a massive loan. It took me years to pay it back, because I certainly wasn't middle class at that point. And probably my bracket of income has gone up significantly now as a therapist and a cranial sacral therapist. Not wealthy, but comfortable. And I think unless, if you're not in a position where you can do that, you know, then, and you're just struggling to stand still and survive, then you're not going to put yourself under that kind of stress.
No, absolutely.
So we should, as a therapeutic community, be supporting people from all walks of life. And interesting, in our therapy centre based in Leigh-on-Sea, that's a conversation we as a therapeutic team have regularly. Whether we've come up to any answers or any solutions,
we don't know what
to do about it, but it's a conversation we have, and we're looking for ways that, you know, that we can be more open to people from different walks of life and support.
And, you know, there's some really amazing training programs that people who have done some therapeutic work can go and do, particularly with Pink Therapy. They are an LGBT plus run training organization. However, that doesn't change the issue of if you're a cis or straight person and you're a queer person and you want to speak to someone else that's queer, you know, that's where the that's where the issue to me feels like. And, you know, it's something that I hope, again, by, you know, putting my head above the parapet, you know, being a representative for the community and saying, you know, I'm here. I know there's a couple of other, you know, queer counsellors around locally. For me, that wasn't appropriate because I already had connections with them. So then I couldn't have a therapeutic relationship with them for what I needed. So, you know, it's about recognising the need and, you know, getting myself in a position where I can start to work with people.
So we wish you great luck, and we hope that you'll come back to talk to us about it at some point in the future. I'm sure there'll be lots of things that will be really interesting to share and raise in the future. But I'd be interested to explore a little bit around, well, a couple of things. Firstly, you know, the process of you know, moving into change and the fear that comes up around that. You spoke a minute ago about practices that you may have stepped into. What would you say that you found helpful to help you as you were kind of unpacking, this doesn't feel right for me, I need to make a change, I don't know what it is, and then all the fear that comes up with that. What was your process, if you're happy to share?
So, yeah, one of my processes, there was a couple actually. I did a meditation, which I've been doing for some time. And that meditation kept bringing me back to a feeling of being unsettled. So then I started to explore what that feeling of unsettled was. And it was really difficult to unpick. Was it, you know, recovery from lockdown? Was it that, you know, at the time our business was completely, you know, changing and it, you know, we had to move from one center to this center that we're in currently? You know, was it that that was making me feel unsettled? Was there things going on in my relationship that were making me feel unsettled? And actually what it come down to was I don't feel like I'm doing the work that I need to be doing with people. And that kept coming back. And I was kind of like, well, I know I'm doing the work, but I'm not doing it in quite the right way at that time. You know, my plan is to do more therapeutic work. And I think that was the missing thing. And because I'd had such a big established, you know, study of yoga therapy, and then I've been supervising people for a long time, I've been having supervision for a long time, you know, that felt very secure. But I felt like there was another part of my therapeutic work, which was fundamentally talking to people and active listening with people, that really kind of was missing, that I now realize in hindsight that's what I needed to bring in. But I kept getting these sort of like alarm, you know, these feelings of unsettledness, and my sleep was affected. I was not able to concentrate for long periods of time. And I'm not putting that just down to this need to change. I'm putting that down to all different kinds of things that were going on in my life. But the only way that I could differentiate between it was to almost pull everything apart and just be like, this is that that's going on, and this is the emotion that I'm feeling from this. You know, as you know, in the middle of it, I had three bereavements over the last year, which again just sent me into a complete spin. And actually the depression that I went into following those bereavements was the place that actually gave me the time to be able to really think about what I wanted to do.
Thank you, Daniel, for sharing that. And would you say that there was, when you'd made your decision, you're like, I need to go down this route and, you know, do my studying, you know, obviously, you know, I would be very supportive about any journey you wanted to take, as I would be with anybody. But was there a part of you that was concerned about how it would feel to dissolve a partnership and bringing up that conversation?
Absolutely.
I'm sure for our listeners, there's going to be lots of those conversations they maybe need to have or have had, and maybe it didn't go very well. Is there anything that you could say about what that process was like for you?
So, well, you know, from my perspective, I prefer to be completely honest about what is going on than to feel like things are unsaid. So I went through the process of, you know, talking to my husband about it, talking to friends about it. Very early on, I spoke to you about it and said I was having, you know, I was feeling uncomfortable and didn't know where this was going to go. And I think just by being as honest as you can and not having to have an answer and not asking anyone for an answer or to make it right for you, just having someone to be able to listen and to give you the space to be able to process was the most valuable thing, I think, that was given to me. And, you know, that was something that we spent a lot of time doing, which was just talking and then going away. And, you know, we'd have to go away and do our own processing and then come back together again and be like, right, where are you at? Where, this is where I'm at, you know, and just keep going away and coming back and going away and coming back. And, you know, but fundamentally at the core of what was going on was, I know in the past when things have changed for me, I felt like I've had to almost do it and run.
Right.
And this has probably been one of the few times that I haven't done that because I've felt support around me. So that's, I think, good. It's fundamental to have, find your support network around you when you're going through change.
Yeah.
You know, if it is a partner, for example, then, you know, rely on friends or family. If that's not appropriate, because so often they're not appropriate, friends and family, you know, because they're emotionally involved or they're financially involved or they're, you know, they've got a vested interest in, you know, you not changing, or that it brings up fear in them. So go and get some professional help around it, because actually that is what counselling and therapy is there for, is to help people realise and then to help them move forwards with what they experience.
Yeah. That's really good advice, because I think that that's the nail on the head, is that actually not everybody's got that support around them, and maybe it's not been modeled to them, like how to communicate, and they might also feel like they need people around them to stay the same, so that they're not triggered.
Absolutely.
And here's the really important learning in all of this, is that actually it's not other people's job not to trigger you. It's your job to deal with your triggers. And, you know, it doesn't mean we get to go around being insensitive and unkind to each other. That's an entirely different thing. However, it's our responsibility to manage our feelings, not anybody else's. So I see change as an opportunity to grow. And I always have, I think. I think that's, I don't mind change. I quite like it. I don't like uncertainty. I don't like changing your mind backwards and forwards. That stresses me out terribly, because that triggers me to the stuff that happened to me in my early relationships, which made me always feel very, very unsettled and afraid. So people coming and going stresses me out, but change I quite like, because it always, I always think, oh, what's going to happen next?
Yeah.
I'm always very curious. Ooh.
Isn't it funny? You can't, you know, you can't proceed forwards without change.
No.
And you can't proceed with change without uncertainty.
No.
Can you? And it kind of, they all come together, don't they? You know, probably bucketed under, you know, the word fear.
Yes, well, quite, of course. Because when change is coming, we don't know what's going to happen.
No.
And that takes a lot. You know, we have to have a certain amount of, you know, our feet on the earth and sort of connection and trust and, you know, a really good self-care practice to be able to go, okay, this is happening, I'm going to walk forwards through it.
Yeah.
And I'm going to keep checking in with myself. And I think also sometimes there's some worry around what other people might think, you know, and whatever kind of change is happening, well, what will so-and-so say about me?
Yeah.
What will they think about me? That frankly never worries me. I don't give two flying F's what anybody thinks about me. That's their business, it's their reflection on themselves. But for a lot of people, that will be a big thing.
Absolutely.
Like stepping out of a marriage or out of a business or anything, you might be really concerned about other people's opinion. Do you have anything you'd like to share about that and that process for you as we went
through? Oh, absolutely. I think, you know, what you've said there was really, you know, is really clear. That was part of my journey, was that, you know, we together started a business, and, you know, we've become almost like the public image of our business. And how do you then step away from that when people know and associate you with, you know, a certain job or a certain role or a certain way of being? And I think that's really challenging, is that kind of, you know, having to almost unidentify yourself away from those roles, or, you know, that mask that you put on in that role, which we all do. You know, that kind of breaking down of that identity is really challenging.
I can see that that can be very challenging for some people. And I think you've worked your way through it, and you've been really clear, and you've communicated really well to me and to other people and to our community about your choices, and that's been received so far very well. And as I just said before, anyone who is uncomfortable with somebody else's choices, that's a reflection of their own stuff and none of our business anyway. I'm trying to think, is there anything else we want to say, anything you want to ask me?
How are you feeling about the change now going forwards?
Thank you. I'm really good. I feel really excited. I'm very excited for you. I've said that all along and I still feel like that. I feel like I love to watch. I feel like we're all on this path looking forwards, and sometimes we work together and sometimes people go off on a little deviation and the deviation is going down their path where they're meant to be. And that's lovely to see, because I think if a friendship and a relationship's doing what it's supposed to do, is giving someone room to breathe and find yourself. And I hope that I allow all of my friendships to do that. I don't need them stuck to my side. I would feel claustrophobic apart from anything else. I'm really excited to see where this goes for you. And it's nice to see you stepping into it.
Thank you.
In terms of the business, I'm doing what I've always wanted to do and always have wanted to do. I'm not, what don't want to be anywhere else for right now. I am already a therapist. It's most 90% of the work I do. I'm deeply grateful that we have admin. Especially now you're not here, because I hate all forms of admin. So I feel really good. I feel I'm curious. I like to stay in that place of curiosity. The practices that I took on board during this was very much owning my own shit. So if a feeling came up, knowing it was about me and investigating it on my own or in supervision if I needed to, and following the path of my teacher, Ram Dass, whose story was tell the truth, love everybody. So we did. We told each other the truth.
Yeah, absolutely.
And continued to hold you in my heart and will continue to do so. And it's not an end anyway. It's just a change.
No, that's right. That's the thing, isn't it? Is that, you know, the other changes that I've experienced in the past that have felt very kind of like shut down, not only through my choice, through other people's choices that have been party to that relationship as well. You know, that's felt very easy to deal with in one way, because it's like, that's done. That's the end of that.
And maybe easy to be.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. But knowing that for me, my growth is therapeutic, and knowing what you offer here at Anna Harta and at the therapy center, knowing that this feels like my home anyway, I just need to go away for a while and just do my own stuff to come back to it.
And bring something. I'm really excited to see what you bring back, because that's all our conversations are always here is like, and actually we do have quite a lot of queer and transgender people coming through, but there is no one queer or transgender supporting them.
Yeah, absolutely.
And that feels like such a glaring mistake, but not one I can't magic somebody else there.
No, absolutely.
So we're grateful you're doing work and excited about what that will bring. And that's, you know, that's genuinely the only thing I feel is, you know, love and curiosity. Something will change because it will be my voice moving forward a direction in many ways, which will look a little bit different. It's bound to. I'm cool about it. I mean, I'll be sad not to have you as my co-host because we have some nice chats.
Yeah, absolutely.
But it will be a really interesting season coming up. I'm going to tease you with just a few of our really lovely guests coming up over the next few months. One is Ali Miller, an international renowned best-selling author of a book called The Last Days, who Tracy Stanley, who was one of our guests in our previous podcast, is coming back to talk about her new book. Shantini Ramana, who is one of the therapists here, actually, but she's also head and owner of a social enterprise business in London that supports Sri Lankan women. They have like a big kitchen and they make pickles and they do outdoor catering, but she comes from a place of service. So her practice is very spiritual, whether it's in counseling or whether it's in the social enterprise business, and we're going to be talking about that. Kate Codrington is coming back to talk about menopause and being in the autumn of your menopause, and Christopher Gladwell's coming on to talk about the environment, but everybody's going to be talking about spirituality. That's the theme. So obviously, whatever it is currently is their work they want to share with people, but also about, you know, what is spirituality? Because that means so many things to different people. I think in the past, people thought of it as religion. But actually, it's really not. Religion is a construct that some people have put around a spirituality.
Mm-hmm.
I have my opinion around that, which we'll explore in our podcasts. So what is spirituality, and how does that show up for you in your life? So what would you say about that, Daniel? What do you think spirituality is? What do you think about it?
Spirituality for me is something that I fundamentally believe in. However, how you explain it and contextualize it, I think, is so different to every single person, because every single person has a different experience of what spirituality is. And as soon as we start to put parameters around what is and what isn't, what practices are spiritual and what practices aren't spiritual, it becomes to start to create conflict. So for me, I go with whatever anyone says is spirituality to them, because that's their understanding of it. My personal spiritual practice is, there's elements of yoga and yogic meditation. There's elements of my physical connection with myself that doesn't come from asana. I love asana, but I don't get what I need from it. So for me, I need running, I need walking, I need swimming, I need to be in nature. I've realized now I need to spend time with my dogs. And that to me is my spiritual practice, because it keeps me connected. It keeps me able to feel into myself, but also there's an element of knowing that beyond everything else, there's a collective consciousness that we all tap into. And if we're all shut down and we're beavering away at our jobs and we're doing everything and we're not connecting with ourselves and being honest with ourselves, then that to me isn't spirituality. But being really honest, being open to what you hear, and having a community around you of like-minded people is spirituality. Doesn't involve anyone or anything.
Any bells or whistles?
No, absolutely.
But it will for some people, as you said.
Absolutely.
And that's what's so, that's why I'm so excited. But one of the reasons I'm excited about these conversations is, and we'll speak about this a lot in the first podcast with Ali Miller, because that will kind of set the scene for the whole season. But you know, spirituality can look like anything, and it creates separation when we, as you say, put parameters around it. If your parameters are for you personally, and that's what you need, and that's how you feel connected, fabulous.
Yeah.
But we can't tell others that's how it should be.
Absolutely.
I'd be really interested to hear from our listeners what they think spirituality is and how they access it, and if they have any difficulties around it. You know, maybe the word itself is a bit triggering for you. You might have a different word than spirituality. It could be connection or love or community. I don't know. I have no idea. But I'll be interested to hear from our listeners. Do pop something in the comments when you are hopefully reviewing our podcast. Please do review the podcast. It does help to push us up the rankings so that more people can listen to these wonderful episodes that Daniel and I have curated over the last three seasons. I'm really proud of the body of work that we've put together, and I know that it will be there for a really long time.
Yeah.
And it will be very helpful for people who are going through a journey, whether it be to do their yoga practice, their own personal healing practice, their sense of identity, and their place in the world. So thank you for being on that journey with me, and I'm really excited to continue it with who knows what. We'll see where it takes us. Is there anything you'd like to finish with, Daniel?
Just a huge thank you to you, Dawn, for everything that you've done, and you know, for walking through this pathway with me, and also just to everyone that supports us and continues to support us, you know, whether it's through the podcast, whether it's through the studio. You know, fundamentally, we've created something that is about community, and long may that continue.
Yes, thank you. Have a wonderful rest of your day, listeners, and I look forward to meeting you next time with Ali Miller, author of The Last Days. If you haven't already read the book, go out and get it immediately. It's a riveting read, emotional read, And I'll tell you quite a lot about my life, actually, because we both were brought up in the Jehovah's Witness religion. And weirdly, Ali is a little bit younger than me, we were only a few miles from each other in Edinburgh. How weird is that?
Mm-hmm.
And we're recently connected again after I read her book. So I'm really looking forward to that conversation and wishing Daniel all the good luck in the world with his next path. And I know we'll speak again on this podcast at some mm-hmm. point in the future.